Hello, and welcome to Talking Opinions. I am Anthony Livingston Hall. Evidently, the pandemic of COVID-19 has done nothing to curb the epidemic of sexual abuse. And no, I am not talking today about Catholic priests sexually abusing choir boys. Instead, I am talking about female teachers sexually abusing pre-epic boys. This was thrown into titillating relief just weeks ago when police arrested a teacher in my neck of the woods for treating her classroom like a friggin' harem. I began commenting on this phenomenon in 2005. Back then, I treated it as nothing more than, well, a treat for the lucky boy involved. But when I read titles from those days, my chauvinism is painfully clear, because they include boneheaded titles like Doing Teachers Becoming Students' Favorite Extracurricular Activity, and A Sexy Middle School Teacher Gets Off on Blowing More Than Schoolboy's Mind. God, how did I get away with that? But here is what informed my ignorance. I thought the moral outrage, which relatively few cases at the time were generating, was misplaced. This especially juxtaposed with the exploding number of cases of Catholic priests preying on young boys. Simply put, I thought there was a world of moral distinction between a 40-year-old priest sexually abusing an adolescent boy and a 40-year-old female teacher treating a teenage boy to a life-affirming sexual romp. But I hasten to clarify that even back then, the lawyer in me felt obliged to concede that a teacher having consensual sex with any student age 16 or older should be fired and banned from teaching. I maintained, however, that this teacher should face no criminal charges. I reasoned that it is one thing for her to be pilloried as a bad teacher for the rest of her life, but quite another for her to be convicted as a felon, facing 16 years in the pokey. No pun intended, for this essentially victimless crime. By contrast, I argued that a teacher having sex with any student, age 15 or younger, should be arrested and prosecuted on charges of statutory rape. Of course, no reasoning in that case seemed necessary. Still, I was acutely mindful that even a 16-year-old boy could be psychologically damaged by having his sexual fantasies fulfilled by his high school teacher. But I was convinced that he would be the exception, not the rule. What's more, I felt that anyone who argued otherwise either was never a 16-year-old boy or was just talking puritanical rubbish. After all, with an obliging teacher, no lesson could prove more educational, wholesome, and ultimately useful for a teenage boy. By the way, I think it's patently absurd to treat sexual relationships between students and professors at university the same as those between students and teachers in high school. Granted, it's prima facie evidence of either exploitation or favoritism if a student is taking a course given by his lover. There should be no dependency between student and professor for any kind of academic or professional evaluation, respectively. This would preclude the power dynamic that makes so many workplace relationships prohibitive. Given that, I challenge anyone to provide a single sustainable reason why sexual relationships between students and professors at university should not be okay. I mean, if a kid is old enough to go to war for his country, surely that kid is old enough to have a consenting relationship with a university professor. That said, I never imagined that sexual relationships between teachers and underage students would become so commonplace. And I should clarify here that male teachers still account for the majority of these transgressions, It's just that reports about female sexual predators arouse more interest. In other words, a latter-day Mrs. Robinson, a la The Graduate, will invariably generate higher ratings on TV and more likes on social media than a latter-day Professor Humbert Humbert, a la Lolita. Indeed, there is no denying the intrigue inherent in the way these female teachers are shattering gender norms. After all, the presumption has always been that men prey on underage children because we think with our dicks. What then are we to make of the increasing number of women who are now doing the same, that they think with their clits? No doubt you recall the paradigmatic case of 34-year-old teacher Mary Kay Letourneau and her 12-year-old student Villy. Even I never imagined that abnormal relationships like theirs would soon defy all social and legal recriminations to become the proverbial new normal. Never mind that you would think female teachers, of all people, would be sensible and disciplined enough to resist such jailbait, yet a shocking number of them continue to emulate Letourneau by eating that bait and ending up in jail. Still, as indicated earlier, I draw my admittedly subjective line for leniency at 16. Assignations with a student below it, and you go to jail. Period. Assignations with a student above it, and I'd argue for a lifetime ban from teaching and public shaming, which social media make far more severe these days. Sentencing in the latter case should also include mandatory therapy sessions to teach these misguided teachers to appreciate the psychological, emotional, and physical wonders of sex with more age-appropriate men. Apropos of social media, I'd be remiss not to note the facilitating role they have played in normalizing this behavior, because these illicit relationships so often begin with sexting or some other form of network flirting. More to the point, in fairness to these female teachers, social media have either blurred or eradicated all notions of personal discretion, professional discipline, and public decency. Only this explains so many respected CEOs embarrassing themselves on Twitter, and so many ordinary women prostituting themselves on Instagram. Only fans my ass. In any event, I highly recommend the aptly titled Sundance film, A Teacher, because it dramatizes, in comprehensive fashion, the myriad dynamics involved in teacher-student relationships in this age of social media. Never mind that it depicts the grave realities of such relationships in ways that the relationship between Mary Kay and Villy actually defied. After all, their romantic bond proved so strong, even her spending nearly 8 years in prison could not break it. What's more, they got married in 2005 and had 2 children before divorcing, like most normal couples, in 2019. Sadly, Mary Kay died prematurely just last July, perhaps partly of a broken heart. Incidentally, why do you think white females compose nearly 100% of these predatory, pedophilic pedagogues? Things that make you go, no? Meanwhile, there seems no deterring female teachers from pursuing sexual relationships with their male and occasionally female students. But I hope my liberal take on this epidemic does not surprise you, not least because liberated women throughout history have invariably demonstrated that when it comes to sex, they are every bit as predacious and promiscuous as men. That's it, and if you liked it, please subscribe. It's free. If you'd like to contact me, I invite you to email anthonyhall279@gmail.com. or use the contact feature on my blog at www.ipjn.com. Thank you for listening, and until the next Talking Opinions, goodbye.